What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll likely sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can lose our identities and struggle at times. This is the podcast to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Big thanks to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout our shows. NeuroGum is a chewing gum. They've also got mints. It's got B vitamins, B6, B12, L-theanine, and some caffeine. There's some scientific studies out there that it helps with memory recall and focus and and it's a good gum. So, you know, we like it. I chew it usually when we're doing podcasts, when I'm working out, and really just kind of throughout the day if I ever need a quick little pick-me-up. So try some NeuroGum.
Awesome. And thanks to our people over at Fit Flavors. Now through the end of May, using the code PODCAST50, we'll get you off get 50% off a gift card. On their online gift card. So we appreciate you guys giving us that and our listeners the chance to save some money. I just picked some up on the way here. It's what I eat probably all day, every day.
Yeah, I do too.
Perfect.
The amount of money I've spent at Fit Flavors has grown exponentially since we started the show.
Oh.
But I mean, the promo code PODCAST50 has saved me a lot of money, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, My nutritionist is like, yeah, this is the place to go if you're trying to count your macros.
Well, it just makes it so much easier, especially, you know, ever since we had them on and, you know, we kind of learned about their whole kitchen and how they only cook with, you know, the four different oils. And it's just a great, I love it. And actually, one of my best friends just started working there. He's like their operations manager now.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool. So shout out to Brian. I know he listens to the show. So. Awesome. But it is a guest episode today, so we have an awesome guest in studio. She is an owner of multiple businesses, including Aisle Zero Digital Marketing, Teams AP Consulting, the great and powerful Ashley Pollard.
Great and powerful. I sound like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
well, I told you that's where that's from.
It is where that's from, all but right, I mean, it's also an homage to the GOAT.
It's from the Wizard of Oz.
It's from Remy Rogan introduces his guests like that, so I'm a big Rogan nut rider, so
yeah.
he's an incredible interviewer.
Oh, it's. Yeah. I mean, I've been listening to his show for, I mean, pretty much since, I don't know if it's since, not since the beginning, but since like 2013, I've been like an avid listener, and
nice.
So I've been a podcast consumer for a lot of years.
And that makes you a better podcast host.
100%, yeah. So I definitely pay attention a lot more of that stuff now that we have our own podcast. I'm like trying to pay attention to questions he asks and just little stuff because I think he is inarguably the best podcaster of all time.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
for sure. So, but anyway, Ashley, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, man, the life story.
Yeah,
no.
Let's hear it all.
I mean, the elevator pitch that I tend to give is about the fact that I lived in New York for 11 years.
So you're from here, though, correct?
I'm from St. Louis. Okay. I'm from St. Louis. I went to Missouri State. I graduated with a 2.4 GPA because I didn't give a shit.
Same.
And I moved to New York to work in the fashion industry. I was very aggressive in my pursuit of work. I always tell people I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most creative, but I will outwork anyone in a room. And so I got my first internship at Oscar de la Renta, which is a highly, highly sought after brand. And that definitely helped me catapult. My second job was Gucci. I went to Prada. So I was always working for really incredible names and building a repertoire of my portfolio very strategically. And I kind of made this decision where I was going to take a massive, massive pay cut at the start of my career when I was young and scrappy and able to do that for these names that would kind of always benefit me and always give me a yes. And it worked. I was always the first person to be offered a job. Every door that I wanted opened was opened. I got, you know, salary increases if I wanted. And so it was really this smart way of crafting a career, I would say, and being long-term focused. And so I was in the fashion industry, like I said, for 11 years. I shifted into being a contractor after.
What did you do in the fashion industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I worked in corporate and I worked in wholesale, which I don't know. How much do you know about my corporate career, Pat? Because people don't know.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is like, that's why I'm so excited to see you speak next week because I haven't seen the business, Ashley. I'm used to the.
Pat, for those of you watching at home. Yes. Pat and I have a very long time friendship since 2006.
Yes. She was my wing woman in college, and we just kind of naturally gravitated towards each other. We had a group of friends, all the baseball guys, and then the girlfriends that she hung out with. We just naturally gravitated towards each other. And yeah, we developed a really good friendship, and we've stayed in touch over the years, and I'm glad that you're here. But no, I don't, like, I always just like, I saw that you were being successful at these things.
Yeah.
But I was always like, it's just like the Devil Wears Prada type
thing. Well, it's so funny because in college, like I said, I didn't care. I didn't like do anything. My thing was like, I knew I wanted to move to New York. I knew I wanted a job. And I know the fashion industry. They don't care about grades. They care about where you were last. So my thing was, all I need to do is hustle enough to get my first job. And that was my number one focus. How do I make that first job be the thing that opens every single door from then on out? And so the story about how I got the job at Oscar de la Renta is like kind of psychotic. You'll learn quickly. I'm crazy. Okay. Like I am just, I like to say a creative thinker. Some might say a stalker, but I'll tell you about that. So I wanted a job at Oscar de la Renta mainly because I knew that I kind of knew someone there, but they weren't answering my calls. They weren't responding to emails. I sent letters. I sent notes. I sent flowers. Nobody was responding. So I called and I said, hey, I have an internship starting on Monday, which wasn't true. And they said, we don't have any interns starting on Monday. And I knew the person who ran the internship program. And I said, well, Melissa and I spoke about this and I have an agreement from her verbally that I'm starting on Monday. And I said, is there any way that you could patch me through to her? Because I'm sure we could get this cleared up. And so they said, sure. They patched me through to Melissa. And I said, hey, I totally lied. I said that I have an internship starting Monday. I threw you under the bus and I apologize, but I'm a go-getter and I had to try and see what would happen. And I want to start an internship on Monday. I will literally mop the floors. I just need the name on the portfolio. I don't come from much. I can't rival with these girls with connections, et cetera, et cetera. So I need to like outperform them. And she said, I'm obsessed with you. You start on Monday.
Fuck, that's awesome.
God, so, that's fucking sick.
That's awesome.
I do that often in my career. Okay. I'm very much the person that's like, if I can't get in the door, I'll get in the basement and then I'll like crop up next to you while you're sleeping in bed at night and be like, hello, I need to talk to you. I'm kidding.
I would never that in college. That's she's not kidding.
No, I would never actually do that. But I am the person where I'm like, any traditional method of doing something is just too limiting. There's so many other ways that you can get in front of people. So I've just kind of always taken that approach. I'm very much like it's easier to get forgiveness than permission kind of person.
100%. Yeah, me
and,
too.
And if the worst thing you can say to me is like, no, you're crazy. Then like, okay, then what? Right.
It's sales.
Yeah.
You know? I mean.
So that's what I was doing in the fashion industry was wholesale. So I always worked in handbags and I worked in purses in essence. But what's interesting is I was in sales, but I call it a business development role because it's not selling. It's really understanding the market, understanding the consumer, understanding the business, the industry, what's working, what's not, but also other industries. You know, politics affects fashion. World relations affects fashion. Music affects fashion. So you have to have really an understanding of how you're developing different businesses and business relationships. And so almost everywhere that I worked, I was in charge of over 70% of the volume in those businesses that are like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And what I did better than other people was I studied the consumer really deeply. And so a lot of times in fashion, and this you're probably like, fashion doesn't apply to us, but I do think the teaching of this applies where I wanted to understand a lot of people want what they want to move forward, right? I like this, so I want it to work. I want this to happen. To me, I said, well, what's working and how can we triple it, right? So how do we say it's that 80-20, right? Mm-hmm. If everything else isn't really working, let's take the thing that's working and really put all of our time into it. So where I would get marketing budgets, I would spend that marketing budget flying to different markets so that I could understand what was going on instead of spending it on an influencer who were going to get one post out of that. Mm-hmm. So I would bring a team with me or I would fly to different areas and I'm just handing out gift cards left and right. Why did you pick up that bag and not that one? Why do you want that color and not that color? Just to consumers that are shopping. And I would put together
these.
Went into the store. And so I took these selling reports that I would get that were basically like, here's everything that's sold. And some people would say like, okay, so this style works and not this one. But what I wanted to know is like, okay, so why that drop? The drop is like from your shoulder down to like where the bag is. So like, why that drop? Why that zipper? Does it have a pocket inside? Does it not? What color is it? How is it dark? Is it light? What season is it bought for? Is it evergreen? Like I just am such an Excel and data nerd that I needed to quantify and understand exactly what the trends were. And so the goal in business development in sales is to have the highest sell through. So like if you sell product to Bloomingdale's, how much of that will be sold full price versus like discount. Thank you. Yeah. And so you kind of want to aim for like a 50%. 50, 55 is pretty average. I always, always had an over 70% sell through because that basically meant I could predict almost to the unit what everyone was going to buy in the country. And so that was my job, was very much consumer psychology, market, you know, research, a lot of marketing, a lot of product development. And so a lot of that has helped me in all of my business experience, because in developing five businesses now, I don't necessarily think that I learned fashion in the fashion industry. I think I learned data, and I think I learned, you know, long-term business growth and partnership and collaboration. And all of those things have been just incredible for me. I feel like entrepreneurship has been the easiest thing ever because I had such a strong training in the fashion industry.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I just spoke for like 30 minutes, so I'm sure you guys are like,
"You're good."
No,
we enjoyed it.
So the more details, the better.
Right,
yeah, for sure. No.
Well, a lot of people don't understand how it works either. You know, no, you think
I'm bro, clueless.
You're talking to you're two dudes who probably.
I buy my shirts at Supplement Superstore and First Form.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, a lot of people think that you walk into a department store and stuff's just there, but like I was choosing that at 26 years old, and that's what a lot of people don't also understand is like. When you move to New York and you're working in the fashion industry, in most industries, the people that are really the decision makers are like the 26, 27 year olds that are there at 7 in the morning until 9 p.m. Like I was 5 days a week, you know, making, and I was making $35,000
in New York
with $2,200 rent. So we had five of us in a 3-bedroom apartment. I was sleeping on the sofa bed. We had two people in rooms splitting the bed with someone else. It was insane. And then it got, fewer people were there and then everybody had a bedroom and then more people moved out and I ended up staying in that apartment for 9 years and I lived there alone by the end of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Wait, so was it $2,200 total? Or?
Yeah, and it was rent controlled, and I didn't know that when I moved in, so they could only raise it like 2% a year. Uh-huh. So by the end of it, my friends are like, "Oh my god, I'm spending $5,500 on rent."
Oh my god!
And I have like a studio or a 1-bedroom, and I was like, "I have a 2-bedroom apartment, in a really good neighborhood." And yeah, everything's just been like really lucky. But you know, I do believe that quote that says, "Luck will find you, but it has to find you working." And I'm always working, but I like it.
Me too. Yeah, I get it. I totally get where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Creating your own luck, you know, you're putting yourself in the positions to have that available to you.
Yeah, and I mean, luck isn't going to do anything if you're just sitting on your ass, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do think that there's so much luck that I've had, but I also think that, you know, it had to find me working. So, yeah, I really resonate with that quote.
Yeah, you can only, like, wish so much and, like, want so much. You actually have to get out and do something before you actually see results from something. You can
And I also, I know that I've gotten, you know, that I've won bids for projects. Excuse me. I just had, like, a cough. I know that I've won bids on projects, especially in our marketing agency, and other people have lost that I know are more talented than my team or that are more talented than I am. But we take an aggressive approach. You know, mm-hmm. we do things that other people don't. And my thing is I've never run a freaking marketing agency in my life. This is the first time I've done this. But a big thing for me was I don't really want to learn about the industry. I don't want to learn about best practices, really, because then I'm going to learn all these rules. And so for me, if we want to sign something, how do we want to get them? You know, and so that's allowed us to really stand out. For instance, like when we're trying to sign, you know, a client, we work with a lot of celebrity names. We just, you know, did something with Serena Williams, which was really exciting. But in pitching to these people, we'll put together actual visual representation that they can take with them. Here are your next 12 social posts. Here is your entire email marketing funnel that you can just implement today.
And this is your company now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure.
Yeah. So I started my marketing agency 4 years ago.
Got it. Okay.
And, well, 2 years ago, but, you know. You know, here's everything that you can implement today. Here's something you can activate immediately. Hire us to maintain it. And then I didn't know what other people were doing in their pitches. I thought that was a good idea, you know, mm-hmm. give them something to test you out, mm-hmm. right? And then I started talking to other people and they were like, no, we just send them like a proposal of deliverables and prices. And I was like, oh, are we doing too much? And I was like, well, we land everything. So
yeah, maybe the thing is, we talked about that in our last episode where you give something away for free, like you give away and they're going to want to come back and reciprocate that. You know, and that's, I mean,
well,
the goal of social media and marketing is like, what was it? The book, Jab, Jab, Jab.
Right hook.
Yeah. So you're giving them something, boom. And then you get the sale.
Later. Well, there's a belief behind that that I feel strongly about. I believe that nobody pays for answers. They pay for customization. So if we give away those Instagram posts, if we give away emails, if you give away something in real estate, which no offense, I don't know the industry very well, so yeah, I can't speak to it. But if you give something away for free, it won't be the way they wanted it. They will have wanted the font to be different. They will have wanted a different image used. They might have used a different caption. Mm-hmm. They don't really like that email setup, even though they know that it's really strong. So for us, you know, giving that away for free just makes them want to hire us because they want someone that they can say, we love all of this, but could you move that to the left? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Well, and then there's this other aspect to it too. And at least that I would apply this to like fitness and working out is like when you start, I noticed that the, like when you commit to like an expensive gym membership, for instance, mm-hmm. you feel this like obligation to go. I feel like it's kind of almost the same thing. Like when you're paying for something, like you have this like desire to like fulfill it, mm-hmm. you know, or otherwise well, you're also, wasting your money or whatever.
Yeah. There's also a law of reciprocity at play where the law, are you familiar?
It sounds familiar.
Law of reciprocity is basically like if someone does a favor for you, you kind of like feel like you owe it mm-hmm. to them. So if you give something to someone for free and nobody else is, they're going to kind of have a little bit of like, God, they already liked it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's already a little bit of that in play. Even and we go above and beyond to be like, you literally never need to speak to us again. But if you're going to work with us, we want to show you that we are devoted and we only take specific projects that we can like really pour everything into.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like, so who are the kind of people you guys work with your marketing agency?
Okay. So that's another like crazy luck situation. So I'll give you the background of like my entrepreneurship journey and like stop me at any time because I could just like talk and talk. So like just like.
No, we want you to.
Something.
We want you to. Go.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll, I'll cut you off if I'm not following.
Thanks. So I was in the fashion industry. I was working in luxury, so Prada, Gucci, you know, so on and so forth. I didn't love it. You know, I'm from Afton. We grew up with, you know, like lower middle class.
Yeah, I lived in Afton for 4 years.
Where were you?
I live in Afton now.
I lived off Poncho and off Brenda.
Okay, so we were right behind the new firehouse.
Oh, yeah. We were in the same neighborhood.
The same neighborhood. Yeah, that's same so neighborhood. Funny.
Yeah. We just moved out.
How old are you?
The
Can
house.
I ask?
Yeah, I'm 30. Or 31. Okay. Shit, I just turned 31.
I just turned 36. That's okay. Yeah. Well, I was like, I wonder if we were riding bikes at the same...
No, I mean, I lived over there as an adult.
Like, okay. Okay.
I was like, me and my wife moved.
Beautiful. Before
These were all younger Missouri State guys. They came in after we were already gone.
Yeah, you got the better
four
gym.
4 years older. Yeah. Or what, 5 years older than you guys? Yeah, five.
Five.
Younger? You guys are younger.
Five. Yes. Yeah. We're 5 years
You're
older.
You're following. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, humble background. Yeah. Nothing like, so we weren't poor. We were fine, but like lower.
Sure.
And why was I bringing that up though? Oh, because like working for luxury companies, you have to say things like, this is our cheaper bag. It's $2,500, you know, because we would sell bags that were $40,000 and Jesus they were always bought by like Saudi princes and stuff like that. But I'm like, I'm so disconnected from this world. Like this isn't fun for me. You know, it was
can't
fun.
Can't really relate to it.
Yeah, and I stuck around for a year for names that I knew would put it on, you know, a pedestal and whatever. And so I went to Sam Edelman, which maybe you guys know, maybe you don't. It's a women's footwear. Sure. Yeah. And it's like $100. So I was like, that I can get behind. He's a disgusting human. So I left after 3 months because I called my headhunter on like day two. And I was like, how long do I have to stay here for you to get paid? And she was like, you can leave whenever. And I was like, no, I'll get you paid. But how long do I have to stay? She's like, 3 months. So on the 3 month dot, I leave. And I'm like, where can I go? Where can you place me? Because you have to work with headhunters in the fashion industry.
Well, it's my brother, I guess I've never heard that term before, headhunter, but that's what my brother does. And he complains about people like he's had the call me upset that like, dude, I had this fucking deal. This guy quit on day 87. He just needed to stay there for 90 days.
Yeah. I know.
He's like,
I understood the industry. Oh, and tough. She had placed me at Prada. She placed me at some good places. So I was like, I want this to be a longstanding relationship. I can push through 3 months, you know, but I didn't know how long it was. So I was like, you better have something lined up for me on day 91. Yeah. I swear to God.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. So like literally day 90, I resigned. I left. I walked out of the building and I was like, I quit on the spot. Where can I go? She was like, what's your dream job? And I said, Rebecca Minkoff, which is another women's brand. Think like Kate Spade or Michael Kors. Yeah. And I was like, I want to work for Rebecca Minkoff. She's my number one. She's like a rock and roll kind of girl. And she said, they have an opening. Go there right now. And like immediately get on the train. I get on the train and go down to Rebecca Minkoff. They say, can you start on Monday? I start on Monday at my dream job. And she was, you know, it's a really interesting thing because you think that these like hundreds, like almost billion-dollar companies are run by campuses. And there was 27 people who worked there, like up to 35. Really? Yeah, wow. Internationally, wow. Like full shit. Companies.
Yeah, I'm thinking like these are big companies, like hundreds no. and hundreds.
I mean, Prada, we had two locations. We had Italy and New York, but probably all together, maybe 70.
No kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Michael Kors, like any of those Macy's brands, those are
the big ones.
Those are the big ones. Yeah. Like okay. Michael Kors has like six floors.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. You're making
the margins in fashion are abysmal. Abysmal. Mm. You're making like $2 a purchase, like a unit. So
and then they're selling it for $40,000.
Yeah.
well, that might not, but that pays for the marketing campaign.
Of course, right.
Yeah. So I go to Rebecca.
$2,500.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I go to Rebecca Minkoff, and they throw me in the deep end, and I
Is that women's shoes, too, or is that everything?
That's full, yeah, that's full lifestyle. Great question. So that's, she's known for apparel, but she's known for apparel and bags. Shoes, jewelry, watches, perfume, you know, just a smaller brand. She's pretty much, like, anywhere coastal. Like, she does a lot of, like, Florida, New York, and L.A. Anyway, my point is, so I go there. She's a very, I would say, like, nurturing advisor in the sense that like she's not going to nurture you. She's like sink or swim, you know? And so I started and all my mentors prior to this were very much like, you know, check in with me. How are you doing? Very there for me, very supportive, which is great, you know, but it was also kind of boring. You know, I didn't really feel like I was stretched to the limit or that I was able to show my chops. So I go to Rebecca Minkoff and she was like, okay, you're going to run these like four accounts. It's 50% of the business and you have no oversight. Do whatever you want. Here's your budget for the year. You have one assistant. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means. And so I was asking for support all through like my first 6 months. Is this okay? Is that okay? And the answer from Rebecca, because that's who I reported to, was very much like, I don't know, your call.
Yeah, you tell me. I don't know.
Yeah. And I thought that was amazing. Yeah. And that's how I run my business now. Because we have, I don't know, I think we're at like five employees, five full-time maybe six part-time and like 30 contractors. And so that's kind of how I run my thing now is like, you know, figure it out. You almost always can.
You would know better than me. You're the one dealing with them.
Totally. You know? And there were times that I would make a mistake. I'm 26, you know, there were times I would make a mistake and that open door policy was super helpful where I could go to her. I could go to the CEO. I could go to the CMO or CFO, whoever I needed to go to and say, I royally fucked up, like royally. And their answer was like, here's how we're going to fix it. Thank you for bringing it to me. And so that's something else that I've really modeled. But I told them, I want to leave. I want to start my own business. And they basically were like, we want you to start a new department for us. And I'm not going to get into the weeds of that. I can make a whole podcast about that. But start this new department for us. And you know the division, you know the department. I want you to build it from the ground up as a contractor, build the business plan, build the budget, build, you know, this, that, and the other thing, brand it as your own business and use this as an opportunity. And so that's what I did. And
that's incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and the idea was at the, the reason I got that, like I said, I'm psychotic. So I am a math girl. I'm an Excel girly. And so I knew how I could grow this division and I knew it's called off price. It's basically selling to like Nordstrom Rack, Saks Off Fifth, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody else was selling excess inventory, but I had the idea to make inventory for those retailers. I was the first one to do it in the world. And now it's like baseline. That's what everybody does.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of like fucked up the industry in that way. Thank God I got out because I definitely like, oh, I put a lot of businesses in a bad place, but that's okay. Because they got so saturated in these off-price markets, they couldn't sell full price anymore because I had this idea of how you run it, but no one knew how I would run it. They just knew that I was doing it. So everybody did it poorly while we were doing it really well and strategically. So anyway, my point is, I knew the opportunity of this business and I calculated, you know, by location, by partner, by unit, how much we could make from this. And I told them, I'm going to run this. You can either pay me as a contractor or no, I can own this build as a contractor and you don't have to pay me anything. Or I want half of 1% of every dollar, half of 1%. Now, Rebecca is not a money girl. She's not like a numbers girl. And I ran the mitten on it. And I was like, this is a $650,000 salary.
Right.
You know? And I was like, I'll forego my salary if you give me half of 1%. Just half of 1% of the revenue shipped. Like, I want half of 1%. So she was like, done. Yes. Easiest yes of all time.
Dude, yeah, for sure. It sounds like so small.
Right. Her brother is the CFO. And he was like, no. Like she runs, she knows, she would not bring that to us if that was not like absolutely amazing.
Right.
And so they said no.
Damn.
Yeah. I was like,
almost slipped.
I was like, this is a win-win. Either help me start my company or...
Give me a big paycheck.
Yeah, or in 6 months, your girl's retiring.
Yeah. You
know? So that was my plan. And they were like, you can own the build. So I do that. I grew it to multi millions in 6 months. And I mean, like, multiple tens of millions in 6 months. Wow. And I got out of there. So I had this business plan about how to start new divisions. And so then, and all of this relates back to entrepreneurship. I'm getting there. But I have this business plan. This is how you start a division. If you have an existing division or a new of a department, let's say you have a footwear brand. Here's how you segue into something new. And so I brought that to multiple different brands. And so I started new departments for all these places. I'm sure you guys have heard of Hunter Boots, the like rubber boot, rain boot company.
Yep.
So I started outerwear for them. I started travel bags for them. Kendall and Kylie started a business. I built that from the ground up. That got acquired by PacSun. So I was, you know, part of that whole process. Well, I wasn't there for the sale. I was there for the build for that acquisition. And then COVID hit and they were like, I mean, contractors don't keep their jobs in pandemics. So I was out and I had this business plan and I had distilled it down to really easy to understand Excel spreadsheets and verbiage where the 22-year-olds that I had to hire to make this profitable could get it and could run with it and could understand the application of all of this stuff. So I was like, I have this business plan that is so easy. Like a child could understand how to run a business. So I built what is now called Team AP Consulting. We're actually changing the name in September to The Doers. You heard it here first.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I have this membership called The Doers, and it's basically this massive business plan broken down into 150 resources. You know, 6 month social plan, all of your emails pre-written, website pre-written, website design done. Here's how you pitch a client. Here's how you close a client. Here's how you do this. Everything, legal, finance, profit and loss statement.
For what kind of business?
I focus on female entrepreneurs. No offense, my guys.
That's right.
But we focus on female
entrepreneurs. We love our female entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Yeah. And so basically what we did in 2022 is we averaged with intake forms and with, you know, different forms at the end of the year that the average person was coming into our space making about 40 grand. And think these women are like website designers, photography. We even had some like people doing candles, weddings. So it's that kind of thing, right? Very solopreneur work. The average person was coming in at 40,000 and leaving the year with 250.
Damn,
and at the end of the day, a lot of it was ask for your money and have clean systems and follow up properly. Have an add-on opportunity. Structure your pricing where it encourages the correct thing to be bought, not the cheapest. Like it was a little bit of psychology woven in as well. And all of that was from fashion. Like the way that I build a product suite is how I build a product suite for a fashion brand. And at the end of the day, the psychology is no different, right? It's building an ecosystem. And how does that ecosystem work together? And so that now we have The Doers. So The Doers was making like 70 to 80 grand a month and I was working alone.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, I don't stop. Okay. I will not stop until I'm like on my deathbed. I'm going to be like texting people. Like, have you responded? Like when I'm like passing away, like that's just who I am. And so I have all of this money coming in. The business is sustainable. I don't need more help. And so I was like, what do I want to do next? And as I'm trying to figure out kind of like what's next for me, I keep in mind, I'm marketing myself incessantly. Okay. I am on social every single day. I don't care what happened in my life. I don't care what happened in the world. I am online every single solitary day. I never missed a beat. I'm sending emails. I'm selling. I'm doing everything that I'm telling everyone else to do.
I thought it was pretty cool because obviously I follow you on everything, but
because it was my personal account. I changed my personal account to my business account.
Like your TikTok stuff where you're going in and like, oh my God, this is a great marketing idea, or oh my God, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw all that stuff and I was like, no, okay, this is really interesting because it's not stuff that people ever think about and you're seeing what's going on and you're like, it's gaining traction and it was great.
Well, and I also think it democratized it, you know, like, you don't need to hire a consultant who charges 50 grand. You know, like I can be your consultant. You can pay me 200 because that's how much the membership is. It's 200 bucks a month. Wow. And there's also a Slack community where everybody shares and, you know, give their own feedback and examples. And there's like a Feels channel where people can be like venting. It's really sweet. And so that grew really rapidly and really well. And honestly, I don't have a ton of followers. Like I have 9,000, but like I'm running this massive business on less than 10,000 right. followers, which I think is a testament to like, you can learn follower count or you can learn sales. And I'd rather learn sales.
100%. I'm the same way.
Yeah. I'm glad because that's honestly where longevity lives. Now we're focused a little bit on follower count, you know, but.
Well, you've proved that you have credibility through your skill set. And
right.
quite honestly, like that's the ice cream of the hot fudge sundae. Whenever you think of like, oh, well, she's producing results. What is the follower count? I like that, like chocolate sprinkles and cherry on top, honestly. So.
Yeah, and I don't think people give a shit, you know, like when you see the testimonials, I don't think people care, you know.
And like followers, I mean, I'm not someone who has a crazy following by any means, but like it doesn't seem like that is directly going to.
Put
money in your pocket. Like, I mean, like people coming to your business to you, you know, and mm-hmm. being a customer. Like,
well,
does.
Keep in mind, and this is where I typically get myself in trouble. So I clocked it, but we have a massive celebrity who's a household name. Okay. Like millions of followers. And she has a hair care line in a national retailer and it is very affordable. And anyone should be able to afford this. And I make more money in my business than that hair care line. So that just goes to show, like, follower count doesn't do shit. She's no. involved in all the marketing. Her face is on everything. Like, you would think that there's power there. But if you do not have an audience that's built to buy, you don't have a chance, you know? And so that was kind of the goal with Team AP Consulting is I'm marketing my face off, right? And so what happened is that since I was using my personal page that I flipped to be a business page, which... pros and cons, but that I flipped to be a business page, all these people from the fashion industry were still following me. Rebecca Minkoff still follows me from her burner account. Like I have all these executives following me. And so someone who I knew at Rolling Stone reached out to me and said, you are a marketer and I have a client that I want your team, whoever does your marketing, I want them to do the marketing for her. And I said, well, you're talking to her. Yeah. I do all the marketing. I did have somebody supporting me who was incredible. She's still on my team. And I was like, I have no interest in getting into social media. I'm only good at it because it's mine. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how to think for someone else. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. And she was like, no, I'm giving it to you. Take the offer. It's Brooke Shields. And I was like, I have reconsidered. and I will say yes. So we started with Brooke Shields doing social for like 500 bucks a month because she was starting a new business. And my thing was like, I don't want to charge a ton of money because I don't want the pressure. I've never done this. I need to build the systems. We need to build our working methods. I don't care if this person, because we were white labeling under her, which basically means like we were operating as part of her team. So like the client doesn't know, you know, that I have my own business, mm-hmm. which is fine. I'm cool with that. But my thing, I was like, I don't care if you profit fully on this business. I need oversight and I need mentorship through this and I need grace. Mm-hmm. And she was amazing. We still partner to this day. So Brooke Shields was our first client and it was the same thing that I did in the fashion industry. Take the hit up front, get a name that you cannot ever say you didn't work with
right.
and ride that wave. And we worked with Brooke for almost 2 years and we grew to a place where we were paid very fairly. And we did a lot with her. I got to walk the red carpet with her at the Hulu documentary that came out about her. You know, we got to be relatively close. So it was a really cool experience for that. And that just kind of opened up every door. We kind of became the go-to for very affordable marketing for celebrity brands because celebrities might have a ton of money to spend on their brands, but they don't want to.
Right.
You know, they don't want to spend a ton of money. And for me, $5,000 is a life-changing contract when I have never done this before. And for them, it's nothing, yeah, you know.
It's like $5.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're quoting now 20 to 30 grand for our contracts. And we would for sure lose to a $5,000 bid. No question.
Sure.
You know? And so I built out a full-time team. We built out the systems. And since I'm a data and operations person at heart, that was my focus. Let's operate as if we are a business of 30 employees because then it won't break when we get there. And so we would do the weirdest things. Like we would have like sales meetings and it was just us three. We would have marketing meetings and it was just us three, and we would write up the minutes and we would save them in a folder, and it would be have a naming convention, et cetera, et cetera. So that as people came on the team, we had everything in place. So that's like one of the best things I think that I did in either of my business. Like even when I was a solopreneur, I was having marketing meetings and sales meetings. I'm alone, you know, but I'm a very big believer that if you build for the stage that you're in, then you're going to be confined there and you have to break your systems as you grow. So I was kind of thinking, what would be like five steps ahead and how can we operate in that manner? And how do we kind of like build that system now so that as we grow, we don't also have to be like breaking and rebuilding. But anyway, so now we're at Dial Zero Marketing. We worked with so many different celebrities. We work with startups. We work with small brands.
So now what's the difference between Dial Zero and Team AP?
So great question. A lot of people at Team AP Consulting are doing what we do. We have a lot of social media managers. We have a lot of website designers. We have packaging designers. And it would have been unethical for me, not unethical in general, but unethical for me to rival them. I had just built this community of people that were selling social media services for $1,500. So we never publicly sold our services until we got to a place that we were doing $5,000 contracts, because you're not choosing between my community and me at this point. So Team AP Consulting is just really just the membership. You know, it's very community vibes, very casual, very conversational. This is how you close a deal. This is how you do this. I'm mentoring, right? Dial Zero Marketing, the clients don't meet me. They don't know I exist. So I'm fully in service to the team. So we have someone who's doing client acquisition, who's closing that client, who's onboarding. And I'm not involved would be like a massive understatement. I'm very busy in that, but I'm supporting the team that's running the show. Okay. Right. And then on top of that, I have a podcast, Unfiltered Entrepreneur. I had a podcast in 2016. I had a podcast in 2020. It's my third one. And I know how to do a podcast. I was producing it myself. My friend was out of a job in COVID.
Fuck, that is a lot of work.
Did you ever meet Sam Valentine?
Yes.
So Sam Valentine is still one of my best friends. She lives in LA. She's a working actor.
Yeah, we met her like the very first night we were in the
literally,
dorms.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so you you remember.
Someone shot her with an airsoft gun, I think.
Oh my God, yes. That's so funny. Yeah. So Sam and I are still very, very, very close.
So secret, all the freshman baseball players had a big crush on her.
I mean, she's stunning. Beautiful. Let's be real.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's like a goddess. So Sam Valentine and I are close friends. She's an actor. She's out of work. It's 2020. And I'm making fucking way too much money. More money than I've ever seen in my life. And so I was like, I can throw you money. What do you want to do? And she was like, I have a podcast I've been producing. And I was like, produce my podcast. So I'm throwing her like $2,000 a month because I basically am just like, I don't need all of this money. I had like almost like a guilt association with like, how am I making $40,000 a month when I just made like $40,000 to start my career like 10 years ago? So it was a really hard guilt moment for me. I had to really work through that because I'd never made so much money in my life. I felt wrong for having that much money. And then I had friends who were having hard times. So I'm like, take whatever you want. How much money do you need to live? That's how much I'm paying you. And so she was doing a great job and she was so gracious and grateful. Like she didn't take advantage of me or anything. You know, she worked for the money, which was great. And everybody kept coming to me. How do I get your producer? How do I get your producer? And so I'm like, all right, let's build a business around it. Let's build a business to sell. So we started Fast Forward Production. Our tagline is "The women are speaking." All of my businesses are by women for men. So again, I apologize. Guys.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. Great. So we built Fast Forward Production, which is YouTube and podcast production. I'm not involved in that business, but I take a percent off the top if they hit a threshold. And Sam's fully running it, and she's fucking killing it. And she took all the stuff from the doers. You know.
Okay.
So proof it works. And then I started a product brand called Me Time just because I wanted to say that I did it. And it's like a journal and affirmation cards and eucalyptus oil and like cute stuff like that. And we were going to have it in stores and then I hated all the packaging. So we might relaunch it next year. I don't know. It's low end of the totem pole, but we had, it sold out at launch, 500 units, which was exciting. Sweet. And then I just kind of said, all right, bye.
Just to say you did it. You know?
Just to kind of say I did it and understand the process.
Proof of concept for what you're doing with the doers.
Yeah, and also, like, I do think it's important to have a beginner mindset at times and to be put in situations that scare the shit out of you, because I need to remember that empathy in speaking to my clients inside of the doers. Like, it's very easy for me to be like, just go fucking do it. But like, when I'm consistently put in a beginner frame of mind, I have a little bit more of an understanding of, like, I know how I get it. I know how you're feeling, which I think allows me to do a better job. And then I got to this place where I have four businesses and people are like, what do you do? How do we, introduce you to people? And Dial Zero, we're building to sell. We want to sell it for $5 million at the end of next year, beginning of 2026. That's the goal. And we're on track too. And fast forward, we're building to sell. Me time, we're holding to sell. Someone can take the idea today if anybody wants it. And and so I basically needed to put a holding company together of like, here's all the businesses. I'm involved in all of them because now I'm starting to invest in businesses. Like there's two businesses that I now have equity in and that I'm utilizing the team for. So I need to make sure that I have a place that says like, I'm involved in a lot of different businesses. So we started this holding company called Cocky Ventures. I got Cocky tattooed on my arm because I'm a literal psychopath. And the idea is like, be cocky, women, like go after what you want. And so they're all female brands, all female teams. Put up for sale for like $100,000 because, again, trying to democratize something, like you don't need to sell a business for like $100 million, $1 billion. Like selling a business for $250,000 can change someone's life. So that's kind of like the next stage for us. I literally don't know how you guys listened to that whole thing. I just gave you my entire story.
My jaw is on the floor.
Business is so much what we like, but what we enjoy and what we like talking about, especially someone that has been had the success that you've had from where, I mean, I know you from before you are who you are now. And I mean, I'm proud like to say that we're friends and that I've seen you go from where we were to where you are now. It's incredible. So
thank you.
Kudos to you. And it's
I'm very proud of myself.
In the background.
Honestly, like I'm not kidding. I'm definitely not the best at any of this. Like I cannot stress that enough. It's something I tell the team, like we do not want to do perfect anything. We want to do good enough. I'm not a competitive person. I don't need a fucking award. If you want to say, oh, it's between you two, like fight for it, I'll say, no, go with them. I don't care. Like, I don't, you know, I'm here to have a jolly good time. You know, we're here for like 5 seconds and I like this. I think it's really fun, but I don't care to compete. I don't care to be great. There's a quote that I love that says like, now that you don't have to be perfect, you can be good. Mm-hmm. And that's really how we run all of this. And I just am creative in my closing. You know, I will find a way to get in front of people that I want to get in front of. One time I wanted to close Churchill Downs. I wanted to sell our raincoats there because at Hunter, because like, hello.
Right.
And I couldn't get this guy to respond to me. And he's like a kind of older guy. And I couldn't get this guy to respond to me. And I stalked him on Instagram. And he was very active on Instagram. And he always went to this one coffee shop. So I took my marketing budget. I flew to freaking Kentucky. And I went to this coffee shop for 3 days and I was like, if it's supposed to happen, he will come into this coffee shop. And I was there at open, like 6 a.m.
And just I hung out.
Just sat there. Yeah, just working. Just worked in Kentucky in a coffee shop. Stayed in like a fucking Motel 6. Like, I'm not kidding. I was like, I just need a place to sleep for like 4 hours before I go back to that fucking coffee shop. So I go to this coffee shop. He walks in. And I walk right up behind him on my phone, holding my phone. Like someone could have fully called me while I'm like faking this phone call. And I was like, yeah, I'm in Kentucky. I'm trying to find the buyer for Churchill Downs because we're seeing such incredible sales in the equestrian market. And he's missing out on the biggest opportunity that I know could result in an extra, you know, $200,000 in his bottom line. But I can't find this fucking guy. And he turns around and he was like, what did you just say? And I was like, oh, I'm on the phone. And he was like, no, what did you say? I'm the buyer at Churchill Downs. And I was like, I have to call you back. And so then I go with him to Churchill Downs.
Oh my God. I fucking love that.
There was a race that day. We go to the race. He tells his friend to join. We're going, you know, we're watching this, like they have like tiny, like local regional races sometimes. So there was like no one there. So we're watching this race. His friend was like, come bet on a race with me. And he's like, how much should I put down? Like 500. I was like, sure. 500 puts down $500,000 on this fucking horse. I'm not kidding. He was like, if we win, I'll split it with you. I have no idea if it won or not. And this guy ends up being the grandson of like the Maker's Mark, like,
no shit.
Whoa. Brand brought us to the Maker's Mark facility, gives us this like private tour of these like underground cave things with barrels everywhere.
That's awesome.
And we try this like $150 bourbon. I don't know what it is. I'm not a whiskey girl, you know? So I was like, all of this tastes like shit. Yeah. Sorry. I hate all of this, but I'm gonna whoa.
Pretend. Yeah.
I was like, whoa, the notes. Like, I don't know what I was saying.
The notes. But the aromas.
Yeah, I got to dip a bottle and put my initials in it.
Sick.
Craziest experience. And I ended up closing Churchill Downs. So it's like that, but I have to do that in my head. This is my scarcity.
You gotta fly to Kentucky and hang out in a coffee shop for 3 days waiting for fake a fucking phone call.
Right. Yes. But think about all the cool experiences you've probably had from some of the crazy shit that you've done to Lane Jumps. Like, so, I mean, I'm sure that's not the only cool, crazy story you have from.
I could go on and on.
Let's hear it. Go.
When I was at Hunter Boots, the CEO, and Hunter was maybe the biggest one I was at. I think there might have been like 200, maybe like 100, 150 people there in different offices. And New York was the saddle. It was like the New York office. It wasn't the head office. And so the CEO is in London. And the CEO is going on this massive multi-country tour in South America. And he needed someone to like transcribe and be a note taker. And I had overheard that conversation. And so the person who was making the decisions, I had overheard that conversation. Like I should not have heard that conversation. No one knew that he was doing this like tour. So this woman, I forget her name. Let's say it was like Jen. That's always the random name that I use. So let's say this person, Jen, she was the person who was having to make this decision. And she had a meeting that she was like, oh, I'm prepping for this meeting. And I popped in and I said, listen, I have a light day. Do you want me to sit in and take notes for you? And she was like, sure, that's great. I was like, these are going to be the best fucking notes I have ever created in my life. And so I send them over to her. You know, I check in with her. Hey, just wanted to make sure you have everything. I kept my mouth shut. I did not participate in that meeting. It was not my space. I was just taking notes and I wanted to show her that I could also like not interject, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, guess who gets chosen to go with the CEO? And I was like a nobody. I was also pretty new to the company. No one knew me, but she was the one who got to make the decision. And so she was like, by the way, I put you up to go with, I think his name was Steven. I forget. Steven on that South America tour. And I was like, oh, great. I like acted totally cool. I was like, great. I have a passport. You know, I could get a visa pretty easily. Like I'm down, like whatever you need. I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. And she walks away and I'm like, yeah, but what's even crazier, I applied for the Brazil visa because we were going to Brazil for one stop. And I applied for the Brazil visa. It takes 6 weeks. And the, like 2 days before I didn't have this visa and I was so scared to tell anybody. And they were like, you can get an emergency one, but you need 24 hours. You have like 2 hours to go to get this. I'm like sprinting. Like, I'm not kidding. Sprinting, knocking people over, like such a trope, like running down the streets of New York City to get to this fucking embassy to get the visa. I'm not kidding. She was like closing the doors. And I was like, no, like I need this visa right now. I was like, I will pay you $1,000 cash if you get me this fucking visa right now. And she was like, come on in. Yeah. So doesn't take the money, okay. Thankfully, because I didn't have it. And I get the Brazil visa and we go to Uruguay. We go to multiple parts of Brazil. We go to Chile. We went to like all these different places and we're there with tour guides. We're going to the nicest restaurants. We're going on tours of the country. Like, I was like, are you kidding? But it's things like that. It's like, stop doing what you think is the right thing and do what's actually going to close the deal, right, you know? Right. And like,
put yourself in an uncomfortable position. Like you just, I mean, that's.
Or just be like, it's not even being smart.
Just paying attention.
Yeah. There's smart rule follower and then there's smart for what needs to be done. Mm. And like somebody could have been the hardest working person in Hunter, the most loyal, the one who loves the travel the most, whatever. But they didn't get to go on that trip because they did not know who was making that decision and how to woo them, you know? So it's really like they followed the rules and I did what was correct. And that's something that we talk a lot about in business. Don't do what's right. Do what's correct.
Right. And that's, I mean,
it's a good line.
Yeah. I'm full of them.
You can either be a follower or you can be a leader. And if you're going to be a leader, you typically have to break the rules of the followers.
But the thing is like, I don't even know how many rules I broke. I think I just like kind of don't give a fuck.
Basically, I mean, yeah, you're going out there and taking the chances and doing the things that need to be done that no one else is doing, and is why you've gotten to where you are. I mean,
yeah.
Well, like you said, you prefer to ask for permission instead of forgiveness instead of permission.
It's my motto.
Like
My motto. My thing is like, if we act, and this is, so I always tell people the number one thing that will help you be the most successful is therapy, and I fully believe that. To me, the amount of triggers that come up in entrepreneurship are almost always from the playground, not from the situation. And so for me, a lot of really understanding how I, and what I mean by that is like youth versus like the actual situation that you're dealing with. So for me, if a client leaves the roster, I could act like I'm stressed about money, but what I'm stressed about is if people do I have a fear of being alone? Do I believe that I'm not worthy of something? Do I have a fear of what other people think, whatever it is? So by working on the wound and not this, you know, outer facing problem, you're going to overcome pretty much anything, you know? And so I'm kind of in this place where I mean, I was in therapy for years. I really hated myself a long time ago. You guys would have probably fucking hated me. I was a nasty bitch, but I was in therapy for years. I was going twice a week because I very much was like, I don't think I'm nice. I don't think I'm like good. and telling myself all these terrible stories. And so we built this kind of like foundation, this new foundation of who I am and the stories that I believe. And so now, like, let's say someone leaves the roster. I'm not going to say that I don't have a hint of that spiral. Of course, I'm human, but I can easily come back to, but I'm resourceful and our business is strong and I have a team that supports me and we're good. Like, and to me, resilience is like, how quickly do you level set after something disrupts you? And I feel like I can get back to that really, really quickly. And to me, that is where I feel the most success, to be honest. Like, that's so cheesy. But, like, I feel unstoppable because, you know, at the end of the day, like, our brains are kind of like, if I don't close that house, I don't know if that's the right
No, no, 100%. No, that's exactly where I was going to go with it, because we kind of talked about this recently on one of our episodes that, you know, I've definitely seen a lot of growth in myself, very similar to like what you're talking about, where I've had, you know, like, for example, I was telling the story of how I was showing these clients houses for almost 2 years, and it was a, you know, pretty high price point, and I knew it was going to pay off in the long term. And then I get a phone call one day that, hey, my son's parents, or my son and my daughter-in-law's parents found this house, and it's off-market deal, and I just got kind of cut out of the whole thing.
Sure.
And, you know, when I was new in my career, that would have absolutely ruined me. Totally. You know, like, I would have been, you know, a sad panda for 2 weeks, you know, probably. And that, at this time, I was like, okay, well, that sucks, but all right, well, I got so many other things going on, like, I'm okay, you know, I'm not gonna, yeah, I was bummed for like 10 minutes, and then I was like, you know what, I got so many other good things going on right now, it's okay. You know,
it's just time is so valuable, you know, and I need all of the time possible to be optimistic and looking forward, that it is just disastrous for my business to sit in, what did I do wrong? What could I have done differently? And how is this going to affect me? What are my parents going to think? What are my friends going to think? And I don't really have any of that. You know, we were talking about my car accident. I got in a bad car accident in 2017, and for me, I just kind of like reset and made this motto that my only job is that I can go to sleep at night aligning with a set of ethos that I've created for myself. And that's it. Because to me, regret is not like I didn't impress that person. Regret is I don't even want to act that way. And I did, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, like, if someone says no, that's not part of my ethos. My ethos is that I'm always going to try. You know, I'm going to have way more regret not trying than getting a no. Who gives a fuck about a no?
Right.
I'm not going to get struck by lightning.
Something I always say. I got a
no is not going to kill you.
No.
You know, I've got a guy I'm training. I'm like, hey, man, the worst thing they're going to tell you is no. You know, it's the worst thing they're going to tell you. Who cares?
Well, that's also something that I learned in the fashion industry that I've now empowered the team. And this is something we do in the Dior's, which is kind of cool. So we do this pitch race. And I don't know. Do you guys do pitching in real estate?
Yeah, I mean, so like I'll for I'm really on my side of, I mean, I guess you do too.
I gotta pitch myself to real estate agents.
Yeah. Well, like I'll, you know, there'll be times where I'm like, I know that these sellers are gonna interview multiple real estate agents, so I kind of have to go in there and present, and
yeah,
I know I'm up against a couple other agents, and you know, they're gonna pick one.
Okay,
so yeah.
Do you do any like outbound pitching where you're kind of like putting yourself out there to someone? Hey, by the way, if you ever need a house, hey, or is that kind of
all the time?
Okay. Yeah. So that's something we did a lot in the fashion industry with these pitch races, and kind of only at the beginning of my career, not really later, but because it's kind of whatever. So kind of at the beginning of my career is when you're really heavily pitching. But what they told us is you have to do, let's say it's 1,000 pitches in a week or 100 pitches in a day. They would say your goal is to get 100 no's, and in that you will get a yes. Mm. And so we would have this running tally of like no, no, no. So first it was who can get, excuse me. First it was who can get to that number quickest, who can get to 100 quickest, who can get to 1,000. Sometimes it was if you get to 1,000, you're done for the week. You can get it done on Tuesday, you can get it done on fucking Saturday, your call. So that was step one of it. But then the other one was how can you get to as many no's as possible? Who can get as many no's as possible by the end of the month? Because that also means you're following up and you're getting answers. Mm-hmm. And you were celebrated more for your no's than you were for a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we do in the Doers. We do pitch races monthly where it's the first to 50 gets a free month in the Doers. And we also do that in my business just to get them out because the percentage is there.
Yeah.
You know, the data would suggest that let's say it's a 2-5% conversion rate, then let's get 100 out and 2-5% convert, then that's incredible, you know?
Oh, 100%. I couldn't agree more with you. I spent really like the first year of my career, I did a lot of cold calling.
And same
so
thing.
It's just the same fucking thing. I always used to, you know, I always said like, you know, if I call 100 people, you know, you probably 20 of them might answer, you mm-hmm. know, of those 20, 10 of them might give me, you know, right. up the time of day before like hanging up on me after I say like three words. And then of those 10, I might have like two, maybe one or two that I'm actually going to have a legitimate conversation with.
So that's an example of something we would have in the doers that I built where mm-hmm. it was basically like track this five times and then aggregate them, right? See what the average is among all of these. How many people did you reach out to? What's the average? How many people got on the call with you? What's the average? And then essentially the next time you know how much money you want to make from sales, work it backwards and you know how many people you have to pitch to because you have this average that you're continually building on. Mm-hmm. And so now in our business, we pretty much know to the individual, if I want 40 people to join the doers, I know exactly how many people our Instagram stories have to reach. Mm-hmm. And it's almost perfect system at this point. So that's why I'm also like, I'm just always going to be a data girly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, check your numbers.
Well, yeah, it's 100%. Like that's one thing I really liked about the circle. That's we called it circle dialing because you can basically, it's this program where you put a circle on a map, pulls up all the phone numbers, you hit dial, and it just starts dialing them yeah. one after another. And,
interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did it a lot in my career. I don't really do it much anymore. I've got someone who kind of does it for me now. But mm-hmm. it's a great way to kind of farm neighborhoods. You can pick certain, all right, if I'm searching for this, I want to get more clients at this price point, more sellers at this price point, I can target certain neighborhoods and stuff. So
sure.
Yeah, it's nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. It's interesting. At the end of the day, you know, we get a lot of like, because we also do some consulting, we do some business plan development, we do for anybody, you know, we try to lead with like the product brand aspect of things and specifically in the celebrity space just because of connections. But we've done all of it. And people have said like, well, how do I know that you're going to know my industry? And I was like, I don't need to know your industry. Like, I'll scope out what the industry standard is. We'll do that. And we will have the data from your business to support the decision-making that we have. And so it's interesting to hear, you know, from you guys, mm-hmm. because it really kind of shows like me working in the fashion industry is no different than me working with a $30,000 candle business is no different than working with like a real estate right. business.
Yeah.
It's all the same at the end of the day. And I think the biggest thing is like, do you have the tenacity to keep going? That's the hard part.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, cause you just gotta be okay with rejection. Like you said, oh, you gotta be just, it doesn't even like water off a duck's back or whatever the saying is.
That's why, I mean, I swear that's why I look for baseball players to hire, all that stuff, just because I mean, you fail 7 out of 10 times, mm-hmm. you know what that's like, or just somebody that's constantly being rejected by women. Hey, come here.
Yeah, hey, get over here.
Hey, let me tell you how to call a real estate agent. You just go. You just do this until you finally get somebody to yeah. say a yes.
Like it's no different it's than
no different
being in a bar.
Yes,
walking up to that. Yeah,
yeah, no different.
That is so funny.
I thought that was a Donnie impression at first.
I don't know who Donnie is, but
yeah, you do.
Oh, Donnie impression. Yeah. I was Donnie. Like, Donnie, I'm like Always Sunny. Like, I'm trying yeah. to think of like this
different
character.
Than being in a bar.
Yeah. No, sadly, that's just my voice.
But yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, for like on my side of things, yeah, it's just cold calling real estate agents. I don't know how many agents I've called in my lifetime and since I've been in the business for 10 years. Like, but I know on every Monday, I spend 2 hours every Monday. That's my Monday. Yeah. Just calling.
Well, the interesting thing about that is that I do think that we get something wrong in the beginning of our career. Oh, and absolutely. This is something that I try to instill with all of the people that we work with in like a really small capacity is celebration of fucking everything. I don't know if you guys have read The Body Keeps the Score. Have you heard of that book? It's actually about trauma. So it's about how trauma gets physically stored in the body and how you can move through different pieces of trauma just by physically exerting in a certain way based on where trauma is being stored. Fascinating. Also through generations, how trauma can be passed physically to others. But what's interesting is that after reading The Body Keeps the Score, I have a theory because I'm a scientist, bitch. No, I'm not. but I have a theory that if the body keeps the score, then doesn't it keep all of them? And so for me, I'm trying to really push people to celebrate every single possible thing. And so it's a really big question in the doers. Anytime we have a wins channel, every time someone posts a win and they get like put into a giveaway that like if you post in the wins, like you could potentially win something. To make sure that they're posting there. But if they post in the wins channel, like, oh my God, I did this. We always ask, how are you celebrating? And so the thing is like, let's say you get through 100 and they all say no, the win would be, I went through 100.
Or I made 100 calls. Mm.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we have a rule for how we celebrate. And so how you celebrate, it could be big or small. It could be, I'm going to have an ice cream cone. It could be, I'm going to go on a walk and listen to my favorite podcast. It could be, I'm going to go buy new shoes. It could be big. I'm going to go on a trip to Paris, whatever it is. But whatever you choose as the celebration, you have to do being so mindful. I'm taking this bite because I did it. I'm taking this bite because I did it. I get to go on this walk because I did it. I did this. No one else. I did it even though I was scared. I did it even though this. Hoping that that gets stored as well. You know?
That's almost, I mean, the Atomic Habits kind of touches on something similar about how to reinforce habits by, you know, rewarding yourself after you've done it. So, yeah, sure. I'm so used to
bad at celebrating.
Well, that's same here.
It's definitely something you're saying that I'm like, man, I don't do that at all.
Well, I'll send you
a screenshot of our celebration rules so that you can see if you could follow.
Could use it probably just because I'm always like, what's next? What's next? What's next? And I never.
But I mean, even if it takes 1 minute, even if it's a hot shower, like just do something physical. Like you have to have the physical experience of it. It could be sitting on the couch with your favorite blanket, but like feel the blanket, feel the fact that you're sitting there, feel that you're not doing anything, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you have to be cognizant. I get to do this because I did this thing. And that, I think, is where we start to build confidence. And that's what I'm really trying to instill in the team members who are fresh out of college, because I have seen it pay off. They are the most confident people on the team because I believe that they're holding that as well.
Yeah, you should just take a deep breath and go, fuck yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
That works.
No, I mean, you make in 2 hours. If I get somebody on the phone, that's probably about a 5-10 minute call. But I'm usually making in that 2 hour times. I try and make about 20 phone calls in mm-hmm. 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, obviously it works. Business is doing good. Yeah. I mean, the business is coming in. Obviously, we need more homes. So get some more fucking
working
listings,
on
buddy.
It. Let's go. Working on it.
How did you feel at the beginning though? Were you nervous making those phone calls?
Come on. Have you known me ever to be really nervous about anything?
No, but I mean, never. Never had a little bit of like.
Oh, I definitely.
You gotta remember like. I'm so used to failing because of baseball. That was my whole life from the time I was 8 years old until I retired. True. That like I'm used to failing on a daily basis.
Sure.
And I mean, I wasn't that great looking of a guy, so asking girls out was like, nah, we're good. Like I was used to that.
Sure.
You know. So honestly, how is this any different than what I've been doing the rest like all my life? So
well, that's great.
But I think. That's why I was able to succeed at a rate faster than most. I don't know too many people, and of like maybe a handful that have been in the business as long as I have that are as successful or more successful than what I've been doing. So, mm-hmm. A lot of people fade out real quick because they don't have that mentality. But I just knew, and this kind of goes to the mental toughness side of things, which you know obviously you have to have to either be in sales or be an entrepreneur. But I mean. I always knew no matter what I did, I was going to be successful at it.
Right.
Like I always, mm-hmm. it didn't matter. You could have put me in finance. You could have put me on the real estate side. You could have literally put me in insurance or anything, car sales. I knew no matter what I was going to do, I was going to be good at it.
So I'm going to challenge that.
Okay.
Because I think that you're also doing something else that I want to empower anybody to also do, which is, and I'm making assumptions, so challenge me back if I'm wrong. But I would argue that it's not just as simple as I knew that I would be successful. You built a story that you always figure it out.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Right. Obviously, I knew that I was going to be successful no matter what I did because I knew how to put the work in.
But that story is where people get tripped up. And that's what I'm saying you have to fix in therapy. And whether or not you go to therapy, whether you try to do it yourself.
I think it's great.
Right. But like there has to be a level of what is the story I tell myself about this? Because when you tell yourself inaccurate stories or embellished stories or incorrect stories, that is where you get really tripped up. Because imagine if you said, I knew I would be successful, but in your brain you're thinking, but I never have been, or like, this doesn't work for me, or this isn't going to work for people like me, or whatever it is,
right.
That story will get in the way of a belief system even, you know? And so like, we have to also be so mindful of the stories that we tell ourselves because we think they're fact because they happen in our brain. But the fact that it happens in our brain does not mean that we need to trust it, right? We have to be really mindful and cognizant of like, you know, how is this going to affect me long term? And can I choose my thoughts? I could choose my clothing in the morning.
Well, I mean, for me, it always goes back to the process. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had it in my head that I knew that I was going to be successful because I knew that I was going to do whatever it took process wise to be the best.
Sure.
And so that's kind of what I've. I mean, obviously, I being young, I mean, it's a process. I mean, it takes a lot of work and effort and talent. I mean, a mix of things to get to where I got with baseball.
I have a question about that.
And
do you think any part of that has to do with great coaches?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to celebrate
because I'm like, that story has to have come from something, or you're just genetically predisposed to always have your back, which is beautiful. But I'm wondering, like, someone must have put that story in your head that, like, don't sweat it.
Oh, yeah. No. So, and I'm actually getting ready to go celebrate him tomorrow night. He's getting inducted to the Greater St. Louis Baseball Hall of Fame.
Beautiful.
And he was my pitching coach from the time I was 10 years old until I retired. Mm. And he's like my older brother now. He's fucking awesome. And when I was in middle school, it was about that time where he was like, listen, you have a real talent to take this somewhere. Mm-hmm. We just have to get you mentally tougher.
Right.
So he gave me this book. I've pulled it out a couple times before, but I've read this book every year since I was in eighth grade.
Amazing.
And this is like my Bible. Right. And there's so many things in here that just kind of help prepare, not just for baseball, but for life.
Wait, can I read it?
Yeah, if you want it. Here.
I don't want this one. I don't want this one. But I'm like, I want to read one. I love to read.
I'll get you a copy of it. But yeah, no, it, and yeah, it was absolutely life-changing. Mm-hmm. And it helped me understand, like, it did. It just helped me, like, become mentally tougher on things I needed to do, tricks to trick your mind. I mean, you got to retell your story, but that's essentially what happened was through him and through lessons and him constantly, like, you've got the talent, quit being a fucking lazy ass and do the work. He had me keep a journal of all the things that how I would work. And it got to a point where, like, I'd be going to the grocery store with my mom and I'd be doing drills in the middle of the grocery store. My mom's like, Pat, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, working on stuff. She goes, stop. I'm like, no. So,
but it's kind of cool because you guys with this podcast are kind of doing the same thing, aren't you? Absolutely, you're imposing new stories on people so that they can actively choose a different path if they want to. Like, that's incredible.
Right. Well, you got me thinking over here. All these questions.
I could tell. You're like,
because I kind of, I've said the same thing as Pat before. Like, I always knew I was going to be successful, but I'm like, where did that come from? And I can't really put my finger on it. I mean,
there are definitely people who just have a disposition to have an optimistic nature and to feel supported.
But I was like never really good at anything growing up, you know?
Do you have a great relationship with your parents?
Yeah.
So I would say that's part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, they always had this belief in me, you know, for sure. Ever since I was a young kid, you know, my dad always told me, they still are the most encouraging people ever. I mean, even if I'm...
Well, then I think we found your stories out.
There we go. Yeah, I guess that's it, man. Yeah. Well, I guess that's where it comes
from. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Well, thanks, Mom and Dad. I know they're probably listening to this because they told me recently, we get together and it's like the only show we watch together anymore. Stop, and I'm like, so oh my sweet. God, that's so cute. I know, that's like, we watch it on YouTube and or whatever. I'm like, oh, it's so cute.
We love them. Yeah. Hi, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Jim and Joey. Appreciate you.
Kath and Den, step your shit up. Yeah. All right, let's go.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, man. Ashley, you have an incredible story.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm like over here just like, wow, you've done some crazy.
It's crazy. I feel like I'm lying all the time.
Really?
It just, like, I've been 4 years out of the fashion industry and I feel like it never happened. Like, I cannot believe that I was in it for 11 years. I can't believe I lived in New York for 11 years. I feel like it was like a fever dream. I feel like all of it's made up. It's not. I did not lie on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But it feels like something not even real. Like, I feel like I'm still so young. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I just started. I tell people, I think the fashion industry was my internship. Mm. And I just started my job, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So God, I'm so like, cool. I can't fucking wait, though.
Well, and now, and so, like, next week, I'm excited to see you because this will be the first time I get to see you publicly speak. But Yay. You've been doing that too for a while as well.
Yeah.
Now,
so my goal is 50 speaking gigs this year. I'm already at 23.
Damn. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. You know, we're working towards really big things. I'm obviously like a long-term thinker. We have a major, major, major launch in our business next year that I'm kind of like slowly stepping towards. And then eventually I want to write a book and eventually I want to do that. And so for me, like, I want to stretch the muscle of speaking, and you'll see me next week. Like, I'm still not great at it. Like, I'm shaking violently when I'm on stage. I'm like, I'm still, I'll probably put on brave face, but like, I'll be terrified. Mm-hmm. And podcasts are easier for me, but I'm trying to like get in that program because if I do want to, you know, have a little bit more of like a thought leadership platform next year and the following, then I need to have some experience under my belt. And what better place to do it than with you guys?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, so How long have, well, when did you get into public speaking? Or how long have you been doing the public
this
speaking?
Year?
This year.
Okay. I mean, we have.
Damn,
we have
just started your first year off with a 50 goal. You know, 50
I mean, I just
goal.
Said, I fuck it. No, like, I don't care.
I'm all for
setting
big ass goals.
What happens if it doesn't? Do you right. know what? Like,
yeah,
nothing.
Who cares? Nothing
yeah.
happens.
So
you try again next year.
Try again next year. Yeah. But the thing is, like, my podcast, you know, we reach a lot of people. You know, with my two podcasts combined, like, we're at, like, 400,000 listens.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
So
that's
awesome.
We and not per episode, but like
right, sure.
over the
overall.
Past couple yeah. years. So we, you know, we have a pretty good audience. We get pretty decent guests. We're getting even better guests. And so for me, I just said like, okay, well, I want that to be the focus. The team is running the business fully for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to do? Sit at home and twirl my thumbs? Right. Like, no, ma'am. So I'm going to go and, you know, be the face of the business and see if I like it. I may not feel comfortable. I tend to be slightly private. So we'll see, you know, and I want to test it out and feel it out. And if I like it, then we'll blow it up next year. And if I don't like it, then we'll go a different direction. But, you know, 50 is an easy number to hit. You know, it's approximately 2 a month or right. 3 a month or something. I don't know.
Where do you find your engagements?
I don't know. I mean, come, yeah. yeah, I, you know, the podcast, the nice thing about the doers is that a lot of them have podcasts. So okay. I go to them first. I go to my social first and I just say like, I don't care if you have one listener and it's your mom. I want to come on the podcast. And, you know, I'm developing this playlist on Spotify of like all the podcasts that I've been on outside of mine
yeah.
so that I can easily send then an immediate kit to people and share, you know, this is all the stuff that I've done, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kind of a yes man. You know, my high school just asked me to speak. And so I went there and I told a bunch
Afton?
Of, no, Ursuline.
Oh, that's where my wife went.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Ursuline.
Yeah. So did my mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great. So I went there and I, you know, in front of like deacons and all these people told them that you need to be as cocky as men.
Damn straight.
And I was like, but I'm going to
confess
gonna
about it
real.
Later.
I'm going to be real. Yeah. So I, you know, I spoke at Ursuline. My friend Ashley was doing a conference and she was like, I decided to do this thing. Isn't that so fun? And I said, dibs. I want dibs. I want to be on that stage. And she was like, great. I need speakers. Kat reached out because she mm-hmm. saw me speaking there and she said, do you want to keynote the event? And I said, all right. And so now I have a bit of a sizzle. Do you guys know what a sizzle reel is? It's like a splice of all your yeah. videos put
oh,
together. Yeah. So now I have a bit of a sizzle and now we can actually start pitching for other things. I've never gotten paid for any of these. I'm very much, if you haven't found out, yeah. to get my foot in the door, I won't take the money.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to go first.
Take the
yeah.
experience.
That's what I did with Prada. That's what I did with Brooke Shields. And that's what I'm doing with this. Like
building that resume.
Build
that
a resume.
Name.
Yeah. Get. I can now say that in my first 4 months of investigating a speaking career that I keynoted an event for the first time, which people...
Don't do.
Oh. And I'm like, okay. Like, do I know anything about real estate? No, but I know a ton about marketing. I don't know a ton about brand building.
That's really what this has become now.
This is all this is. Yeah. I mean, that's like,
that's
all
my
marketing.
That's why we're doing this. I mean, it's not so much trying to, it's building a brand.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, and also you guys are doing something smart because with audio, if you just take the extra step to have video, plug for this guy,
yeah.
then
well, thank
you. If you just take the extra step for video, then you have the SEO compatibility to be on YouTube and Google's going to pick that up and it's only going to blow up the business. Yeah. For me to do podcasting, it's just a waste to not to do YouTube because I just don't understand why you would waste
right.
the content,
right.
you know,
oh, yeah.
on top of the fact that that content can be broken down into short form and blasted
everywhere. Yep.
Do you guys use Metricool? I'll have to tell you guys about it off.
Oh, you're going to have to talk to this guy.
No, I'll tell you guys about it later.
He sends us clips and we just...
Well, it's a repurposing platform. You can post everywhere at one time with all different captions. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how we run our business. But
okay.
So, I mean, like with stuff like that these days and with AI, like we lean on ChatGPT for so much. We put our transcripts in there, pull out 5 of the best quotes, like done. You know, it's just like one of those things that it's gotten so good that with marketing, you know, you play the game or you don't, but it is pay to play, you know, and... There are ways that you can get in there, you know, for an affordable measure. But at the end of the day, if you want to grow your business, like people have to know who you are. It comes back to you don't have to be the best. You
right.
have to be the easiest yes. And it's going to be way easier to be like, oh, yeah, I've listened to that episode before, mm-hmm. you know.
People work with people they like. And if you're sitting here with this highfalutin idea of yourself, like a lot of people are going to get turned off because it's like, dude, you're just, even with me, like when I started getting on podcasts, they're like, oh, well, dude, we've only got like 2 or 3. I don't fucking care.
Right.
Like, I want to support your guys' story. I want to be a part of it. If you want me to come on and talk, I'm going to show that I'm your friend. I don't give a fuck about what it does for my brand.
People don't get that. Like, reputation, like, I don't understand how people in their 30s and don't understand the concept that reputation is so important.
Oh, it's everything, especially like, in our industry.
I mean, just be kind to people. Yeah. You know, you are creating a story that they're going to market your business with. And it doesn't have to have a Yelp review. You may never hear them say it, but you have to kind of like come into things being mindful that like there's humanity, you know, there's a level of humanity in everything. And at the end of the day, if we're all just having a silly goose time mm-hmm. and we're all just doing the best we can and we're treating people nicely, you're going to win. You're going to win to like whatever you decide winning is, you know? And for me, I tell everyone I'm at my peak. It'll go downhill after here. I'd have to like, this is the best I've ever been. This is the happiest I've ever been. This is what feels the most successful because of the time freedom and the way that I trust my team so deeply. They could carry the whole business if I took a year off right now.
That's awesome.
And so thank you. And so for me, I'm like, I want to maintain this, but I also feel like I have no idea how it gets better. Right. You know?
Yeah, for sure. No.
Well, I mean, I was going to ask, I was like, so where do you see yourself moving forward? Obviously you mentioned wanting to get back to New York obviously being from St. Louis, being here currently, do you not want to stay? You want to
Here's my thing. I don't know what you guys believe in. I would say that I believe in the universe. I think it's synonymous with saying that you believe in God, but that's the same verbiage I use. And so I very much believe in the universe. I believe fully in my bones that the best case scenario is only what I get. Everything that I get is the best case scenario. And I believe that in my core, in my depth. So I don't like to make a ton of decisions. I like to say like, I will know the decision when it's presented to me. I will know when something is right. I want to be back in New York. I'm a New Yorker in my core. I miss New York with every fiber of my being. But being here is the right thing for my business. And being here is amazing because I get to spend so much time with my family. And I'm obsessed with my family. And I haven't done this. Like, I thought I would live in New York till the day I died. So the pandemic was a really cool opportunity because I came back here for a year to start the business and to get out of New York. But I came back and started my business. Then I moved to LA. And then I decided to come back, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, I don't really know what's going to happen. Like, to me, to make any decision right now is to distract from the fact that, like, Brooke Shields happened to me one day and it changed my life. Yeah. So for me, like, I don't know. You know, I'm single. People are like, do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, if it happens, then I would hope that I'm doing it because I'm happy. And if it doesn't happen, I would hope that I'm doing it because it's not right. Or, you know, I don't know if I want to live here. I don't know if I want to leave. And since I don't know, then I don't think the decision has really been shown to me. And I'm just going to ride the wave and keep doing what I'm doing. And whatever's supposed to happen to me is going to happen.
And you're going
to
figure it out along the way, just like you have with everything else, it seems, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm like running out of time here. So for me, I'm like, I just want to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to feel good. I want to feel healthy. I want my people to be healthy. Outside of that, I don't give a shit. Whatever happens, happens.
Damn. Wow. Love it. Well, how would you recommend if someone, you know, if someone else wanted to run multiple businesses like you do, how would they follow in your footsteps?
Well, I know that I
just be a crazy person.
I mean, kind of.
I mean, you have to be really to be an entrepreneur. You have to have some level of crazy.
Well, okay. Actually, I'm going to kind of go a different direction here because I think what I would do to answer that question is to say, I understand that people can hear my story and be like, I want to do that. Right. But I don't have kids. And I'm not married. And I do have a level of privilege of working for these incredible brands that has set me up for success. And I want everyone to kind of decide before you get started what success looks like. Because for me, I'm doing what success looks like. But if somebody else deems success as spending time with family, then, you know, I want to make sure that they don't follow in my footsteps. If someone's, you know, version of success is that they travel often, don't follow in my footsteps. Take away ideas of mine if you want to and if they resonate with you, but you have to start with your level of success. I want to be working my ass off because I love it, not because I feel pressured, not because I feel overwhelmed, but I want to be doing that. And so I think the biggest thing is like, don't compare yourself to me and don't compare yourself to my day one. My day one was so disgusting. So I want everyone to kind of like remember that like their day one is going to look way different than mine. So just give yourself grace and make sure that you're following your own footsteps, but learning from people that you respect.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks.
Some really good advice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, is there anything you want to plug?
Sure.
Give us your handles and everything. Yeah.
If anybody here is an entrepreneur, I would encourage them to take a look at The Doers. It's $197 a month. Like I said, it has all those resources. You have the community. You have access to me 24/7. You can book a call with me for really inexpensive, which is great. I don't offer my private services anymore. We also have the library, which is $97. So you get the whole portal without the community, which is great. really affordable option. I would argue a lot of it could work for real estate agents. It's definitely for like solopreneurs who have, you know, clients that they're signing and sending a contract to, et cetera. So I don't know.
I do all of that.
And do you work? Do you work with men as well? I know you're more
totally okay. Yeah, just we market to women, but like we have male clients and things like that. But like, you know, just like there's some industries that are meant for men, like women shop there too. And so we wanted to do the same thing.
Gotcha.
So yeah, 100%. Dial Zero Marketing, you know, we are always opening up the roster. If people want to find us at dialzeromarketing.com. Team AP is teamap.consulting. But if you listen to this later, that handle's going to change. I think the easiest thing is just to follow me personally at Ashley, A-S-H-L-I underscore P on Instagram, because I have everything tagged. You can find everything there.
Perfect.
One more thing. This is how we end it with all of our guests.
Oh God, I have not listened to the end of any of your episodes. I've listened to like 20 minutes of a few of them to make sure that I got acquainted.
It's the tombstone question. So here lies Ashley Pollard. What does it say on your tombstone?
A silly goose time.
That was awesome. That's my favorite one we've had so far.
There we go.
A silly goose time.
That's my goal, a silly goose time.
All right, guys. Well, make sure if you haven't hit that subscribe button, please subscribe, hit the like button, comment what you thought below. Make sure you give Ashley a follow on Instagram. We will see you guys next time.